WDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
How you doing? No Damon Bruce today. Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson are going to fill in for D. Bruce. We usually do 10 to 12 Monday through Friday, but we're going to help out Damon, who's taking the week off, or at least the first 4 days of the week. And Guru, I got to tell you, it feels weird to do a show at 3 o'clock.
I'm going to go Peyton Manning. Now, we're calling an audible. The station is.
Yes.
You can get Goo and Steiny or Steiny and Goo from 3 to 6. I'm fired up, Steiny.
Yeah, we'll be here.
We got so much to get to.
Yeah, we'll be here for the next 3 hours, and then we'll lead up to Warriors Live at 6 o'clock. That'll be an hour long. We'll throw it to Tim Roy for the pregame show, half hour before tip. Then at 7:30, we'll have the Golden State Warriors against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let me tell you some stuff that's going on this afternoon. At 4:18, you are going to have an opportunity to win stuff. And that stuff is part of our holiday gift grab. And we will be, I think Gianna will be picking the envelope at about 4:20.
I got you covered.
Gianna, how are you?
I'm good. Hi. Hi, guys. Miss you, but I'll be out there on Wednesday with y'all.
Oh, dynamite. Dynamite.
Just the three of us, Steiny.
No, that's Grover Washington Jr. is just the two of us.
Well, yeah.
I guess it's Bill Withers also.
That's good knowledge.
Anyway, 4:20, I'll be turning it over to Gianna, and she will be the person picking the envelope. And if you don't win, well, you can blame Gianna, basically.
Okay.
And then at 6:20 during the Warriors live show, you have a chance to win $1,400. That's right, $1,400. We're going to be giving that away in the Warriors trivia takedown for one lucky caller. Guru, it's a Monday. Last Monday, there wasn't a lot of football to talk about, but this Monday, I'm looking at the San Francisco 49ers. They win 20-14 over the Denver Broncos. And I got a simple question for you and for our listeners. 888-957-9570. What did that game mean? What did that win mean? The 49ers 20, Denver 14. They're now 3-10. What did it mean?
It meant that the Niners have pride, and the hardworking people of the greater Bay Area that went to Santa Clara to see their football team and root them on despite a bad season, the team showed up and said, you know what, we're going to respect you and we're going to give maximum effort. And that's what the Niners did, because to me, the Broncos, the team they were playing, had all the marbles on the table. They were trying to get in the playoffs and the Niners knocked them off. So I tip my cap to the Niners and Steiny to the naysayers and said, hey, you need to tank? These are grown men, and they respect themselves and the sport. And that's why I was shocked in my living room watching the Niners go toe-to-toe with the Broncos and eventually beating them. I tip my cap to the Niners.
Well, and the best news is the 49ers get a win and they don't lose any ground in the draft position. They're still the number one team that'll be picking as of right now. But you look at You look at the win yesterday. And now you look ahead and you got Seattle and Chicago at home for the 49ers. And then you go to L.A. to play the Rams. That's a game that may not mean anything to the Rams. So you start thinking about, what if they win two out of the last three at this point?
Let me.
How you feeling about a 5-11 season?
Let me help you out.
Yeah.
Liquidate all assets. You will not be beating Chicago, Seattle, or the Rams. Those three teams are hungry, vying for their playoff lives and playoff positioning. Steiny.
So is Denver.
That Denver's Denver. They were without their best offensive player who's gone for the year. So that helped a whole lot. And Vance Joseph, I think he got himself fired by losing and getting down 20-0 to the Niners. But I like what I saw from the Niners again. They didn't roll over. And Kittle, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I want my football team, the biggest star, to be the tight end. Is that a bad thing, Steiny?
No, not a bad thing. I don't think it can be a bad thing if you're devoid of a lot of talent. You got to take talent whatever position it's at. And if it's tight end, it's tight end. And the other thing is, you can if you have a great tight end, now you're one receiver away from having a lot of weapons out there, or certainly enough weapons to be a better offense than they've been this year.
Are you, because it sounds like you are you saying Kittle is a great tight end? Because I'm not knocking, this kid's headed to the Pro Bowl. He better be. But is he a great tight end, or is it Shanahan scheming him open, or the defense is like, you know what? This team doesn't have much. We don't have to worry about thing and getting lackadaisical. I don't know where I'm at. I know he's doing his job, but great. I don't know. We going Brent Jones yet?
I don't know about that. I mean, he's only in his second year. But I just I don't know that we have to make up our minds right now about how good he is or how great he is. I think if you look at the 49ers' positions, I don't think you have to worry about tight end right now. But I think the question you're asking, Goo, is George Kittle a bona fide tight end star in this league, or is he somebody who, because the 49ers don't have much talent, that he's putting up numbers on a bad team, and the minute this team starts progressing, he won't be able to, let's say, put up the numbers or be as effective because the games will be a little more important? I'd like to also ask that question of the listeners. 888-957-9570. I want you to tell me why that win was meaningful for the 49ers yesterday, or what was the meaning of that win? How much did it mean? Did it mean anything? Are you giving Shanahan and Lynch any credit for that win? Obviously, there were some more factors at play than just the game. Jed York's brother passing the week before the game, Tony York. And that obviously was a factor because they were talking about that in the locker room. There was talk about Shanahan, Lynch, and even Robert Saleh in there. How are they going to finish out the year? I mean, look, these guys are finishing up year two of a six-year deal. And I'm talking about Shanahan and Lynch. They're not going anywhere. And I actually think, Guru, that these wins are important because I think cosmetically, and if they win, if they go 5-11 and they get the fourth pick rather than the first pick, I don't think it matters. I just don't. I think when you look at a team's record, if you see 2-14, I mean, that's a problem. And even 3-13 is a problem. But you start seeing 5-11, I don't know what it is. It just looks better. It doesn't look like the season was a calamity. So if the 49ers can get a couple more wins, does it matter that they drop to 4 or 5? My feeling is you can get players in any round in the NFL. If you're banking on getting the number one pick, you don't have a lot of confidence in your front office then anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of the front office, the rat on the table, elephant in the room, Stani, is the fact that, you know, Shanahan and Lynch, what have they done thus far in the draft? And this is a very, very important offseason for them and draft. But I thought I was going to get some resistance from you when I said, you know, the parent that was taking their kids to the game that were lifelong Niner fans and they were happy to see a win. I thought you were going to say hogwash, but it sounds like that's a good thing. That's a tangible thing in a bad season that you can see a competitive team when you spend your hard-earned money going to see 49er football in a season that has been ravaged by injury.
I don't believe in tanking. And I also – but it's not that I don't believe in tanking. I think the whole concept is a joke. And the reason is bad teams aren't good enough to tank. Bad teams are bad teams. Bad teams just lose. They don't have to try to lose. So you can't ask the 49ers, who are playing all kinds of young players, to lose. And I think the one thing is we were talking a lot about Shanahan and Lynch's draft. I mean, look at it looked bad 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now you look and it's like McGlinchey. He's pretty good. Yeah. Pettis, he's playing.
Yeah.
Fred Warner, he's contributing. DJ Reed played yesterday. Marcel Harris played yesterday. Richie James. Now you look at the year before. Solomon Thomas may have had his best game yesterday for the 49ers. Weatherspoon has gotten better over the course of the year. C.J. Beathard, I'm just running down the list. George Kittle obviously was a fifth round pick last year. What I'm saying is things look better after a win, much better, quite frankly, especially when some of these young players that the 49ers have drafted are contributing to that win. So 888 957-9570 is the number. What did yesterday's 49ers win mean, if anything? It's hard to believe you can be a 49er fan and not be happy with what happened, considering they not only won, but they didn't lose any position in the draft. You listen to Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. We are live from Oracle Arena, where the Golden State Warriors play the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7:30. We're filling in for Damon Bruce on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson sitting in for Damon Bruce. We're live from Oracle Arena, where later on tonight the Warriors are going to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Warriors returning from a five-game road trip. They went 3-2. Coming up in about an hour, we're going to have our holiday grab bag, where we're going to be picking one lucky winner who gets a nice prize, and Gianna will pick out the prize there. Also at 6:20 during Warriors Live.
Uh-oh.
You have a chance to win $1,400 if you're a lucky caller and participate and answer three questions correctly in the Warriors trivia takedown. So you'll want to be listening at 6:20 and pretty much throughout the day. Once again, Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson sitting in for Damon Bruce. And I got a couple questions for you. What did that win yesterday mean for the 49ers? And is that fool's gold? I mean, we made a lot about the 49ers winning five straight to end last season. They picked up their third win. They got three more games to go. I mean, what's the benefit of wins? Are there benefits from winning a couple of these last games, or is it detrimental because you're going to drop out of the number one spot draft? And we'll talk about that too. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. How you doing, Rob? What's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
I guess just the patented Kyle Shanahan, we won't win a lot of games when it don't matter, it don't count. A win is a win. You want to build that confidence, but at the end of the day, let's do it at the beginning of the season. Let's go out and sign better players. And I got another thing. What is the difference between Nick Mullins and Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I don't see the difference. I feel like Kyle Shanahan he don't pick players on talent. He picks players on can they fit his scheme. And I think Nick Mullins fit his scheme for a cheaper price than what Jimmy fits his scheme. And if you look at the stats and the numbers, they're very similar to the C.J. Beathard, Mullins, and Jimmy Garoppolo. So I just want your opinion on that.
Well, even if there isn't a difference between
the money spent,
Mullins and Garoppolo, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's going to be
politics,
a problem, yeah. Because Garoppolo's got to be your starting quarterback. I mean, he has to be, because he's getting paid a ton of money.
And Mullins will never have what Garoppolo had. Steiny, he had the football world at his disposal. He was the pretty boy. He was undefeated. He was the savior. He balled out, and he made that and turned that into a contract. Nick Mullins will never have that, even if Nick Mullins were to end up being a better quarterback than Garoppolo. Garoppolo will get the reins back as soon as week one, hopefully, come 19.
Who's a backup right now?
Mullins.
You take Mullins over Beathard?
I'm going recency. Oh, that's my new word. Recency bias, and I'm going with Mullins. CJ, where's he at, Steiny?
He's probably
like a loaf of bread, a stale loaf of bread ain't being used.
He's got the clipboard.
He's got the clipboard.
Let's go to D.C. in San Francisco. What's up, D.C.?
What's happening? Y'all at Oracle.
Hey, what's up, man?
Do this one. The Warriors going to win at least another five straight. Now, I said that. Now, the 49ers, the win was just a win. No better, no worse. I like what the caller before me said about Jimmy and Mullins. I don't know why they, to be honest, I don't understand them getting Jimmy G for $100 million. I don't. When they got them two sitting on the bench, they could have played that out, to be honest. Now, as far as sales go,
yeah,
not Brett Jones. But he's a good tight end, exactly what they need. He plays down the middle. They messed up with Vernon Davis. Call it like it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Thanks for the call, DC. We got a bunch of people on the line. How many people were saying that about Garoppolo last year, though? Not many. When the 49ers traded for him and then paid him.
He was Joe Namath.
I mean, there weren't a lot of people that were saying they can't pay this guy. I guess it was a topic. I guess you could have franchised him, but I think it's easy to look back now and say, well, the 49ers may have made a mistake with Garoppolo. And I'm not even ready to say that because I can't.
There's no way
we can.
Well,
you know what?
You don't got enough info.
But the play he got injured on is troubling.
You haven't forgot that.
Because I don't know what he was trying to do. He looked like he was trying to cut up field. Why would he want to do that? I mean, that to me is a lack of experience. So even though we've talked about how he's been in the Patriots system and he's learning.
That's one place, Donnie.
I know, but a non-contact.
What about, no, there was some contact, that shoulder. We're at Oracle. He was being a warrior. He was trying to fight. So we can't rob him or come down on him, condemn him for the play that took him out for the season. Stoney, the reality is he's going to get 16 or 32. That's two more years to show this team if he's a franchise quarterback. I get excited when we have headphones on. And one last thing I didn't tell you about what yesterday's win meant for me. They have not quit, the Niner players, on Kyle Shanahan. They have not quit. We can go back to the Monday night game against Green Bay. Whoever is playing the San Francisco 49ers, you may win going away, but this team is not quitting. And to me, I know they're pros, it's their job, they get paid. That's a big deal because I won't name the team, but we see some teams to where the next day people in the Bay Area have said, you know what, that team's quit.
George Kittle, 7 catches for 210 yards, all in the first half. He didn't catch a ball in the second half.
What?
Let's take a listen to what Kyle Shanahan said after the game. Do we have that? We have that ready? Not yet. All right, we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, George Kittle, 7 catches, 210 yards, and all in the first half. And it's funny because people say, "Let's get him the record." But you have a football game to win, and so you wonder if...
He needed 5 yards, Matt.
Yeah, well, they got the win.
I could see you being Kittle, and you not getting those 5 yards. Oh, man, watch out.
All right, let's take a listen to Kyle Shanahan on George Kittle.
I told him he needed to apologize for not getting 215 in the first half. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, I definitely apologized to him. We were definitely debating on how we could do it there at the end, but no, it's... Didn't think it would have been a problem, but I wish that he did get it because to have that all in the first half and only be 5 yards away, we had an unbelievable day, and sucked that he didn't get it.
You mad at Shanahan?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
And let me tell you, because this has Super Bowl residue when he was in Atlanta and forgot or overlooked the run to milk the clock. How can you not? And I know it's not as egregious as I'm making it sound, but it is. This is a brotherhood, a fraternity. Somebody should have went up to him and said, hey, this dude's 5, not 50, Steiny, 5, 1 catch. And you don't get it to him, you can never get that back. And... You know, I can't fast forward Kittle's career, but he may never, ever get this close to having Shannon Sharpe's record. I don't know how that could be omitted or how you cannot know. Or I'm blaming the whole staff.
They did know. He said they knew it.
But they didn't call his number.
That's the issue.
I would be hot. If it was Daryl Kittle, today's my, I would be hot for
You're a second year pro.
And right. I put up the first half, what happened to me in the second?
You disappeared. You didn't get open. Apparently, you didn't get open because we didn't score any points.
Oh, that would hurt. That hurts, Stein.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if they didn't know the number, then I wouldn't think twice about it. But in this day and age, they have numbers right in front of them. And even Shanahan knew he got 210 in the first half. So he said they talked about it as a staff, how to get him 5 yards. But I guess they didn't.
I love you, Kyle, but
I guess they put it on the back burner after a while.
Yeah.
Let's go to 211 Steel Reserve. What's up, 211?
What's up, fellas? Hey, check this out. Be kind of long-winded, so hanging there with me. On the Kittle things, Steinman, you said earlier if he's good or if he's a product of Kyle Shanahan's system. It don't matter. When his number's called, he's executing. And you know I don't like to give no love to no Niners, but that's what the dude is doing. This dude's legit. Check this out. On the Raider part, I know you guys ain't mentioned the Raiders yet, but I'm going to say this. McKenzie had to go. That power struggle is impeding going on what you're trying to do going forward. So that's said and done. I like what Carr's been doing as of late. I'm not saying the dude's legit, but I'm saying he's looking like his old self a little bit. And I think that Gruden is getting his legs underneath him now. He wasn't going to come right back into it and be the top coach, you know, like some people are expecting. The dude's got to get his legs under him, and I'm starting to see it a little bit, and I'm starting to see the direction. And as far as winning these late games, not looking like you're quitting for both sides of the bay, you got to look like you ain't quitting. You got to look like you're trying, because that's also going to affect the free agencies that are going to come over here. They don't want to come to a team that looks like they're laying down. They want to come to a team that looks like they're actually trying, even when you're down.
Thanks a lot for the call, Steel Reserve. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think that's right. It's also important for the front office to see that the coach is still being heard, and it sure looked like that. Is this Jed or is this Kyle Shanahan in the locker room afterwards? Let's listen to this for a sec. Jed York, an emotional tribute kind of after the game to his brother who passed earlier this week.
This hasn't been the easiest year for any of us. It's probably the understatement of the year. My brother was a great kid. He loved everything about this. He loved everything about you guys. You know, it was hard for him sometimes, and I think he's at peace now. But I want you guys to know this. I talked to Kyle and John a little bit last night. Bill Walsh said something. I don't know if you shared it with them. But champions behave like champions before they're champions. This team is going to be a champion. I'm going to leave a ring when we get one for my brother. And I want everybody to look around this room. Know how good that we can be. Believe in this brotherhood. Believe in this guy. Believe in this guy. Believe in yourselves. And it's going to be about mental toughness. It's going to be about what can we get through more than the other 31 teams out there. And we are going to do it. You guys keep fighting your asses off. I'm going to get my brother a ring. I appreciate this very, very much.
What do you think, Goo?
That was powerful. And, you know, nothing brings people together like death, you know, unfortunately. But that was powerful. That was real. And I've never heard that saying by Bill Walsh, the champions act like champions before they actually are. That's profound in itself. But, I mean, that was deep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We see Jed York in a little different light than we're used to seeing him. And, you know, it's humbling to watch that. There's just no doubt about it. Let's go to Mike in Napa. What's up, Mike? Mike in Napa, what's going on? Dr. Hustle, San Jose, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Just a quick doctor's note. Last night, it was awesome. 49ers win. The reason it was awesome was because they didn't lose their number one draft pick. They get to get some camaraderie. And if anything, they found their backup quarterback. Look, Shanahan with Garoppolo, they won 5 in a row. Now Nick Mullins won a few games. C.J. Beathard, tough guy, couldn't win no games. So if anything, you've at least found your backup quarterback, and that's a good thing. And any W is a good W as long as you don't lose that number one pick. Hey, and another thing, Damon Bruce better watch out. Can't take days off. Nobody remembers the guy who Garrett stepped in. You guys have a good one. Dr. Hustle out.
We're good teammates.
Yeah, we're fine. We're just picking up a little slack here.
We'll
go back to our normal roles. You know, when they ask role players to become stars, it's really hard for them to do.
Daryl Looney.
We'll see what we can do in Damon's stead. But, you know, there's only one Damon. There's only one Jordan, LeBron, Bird, Magic. That's how that goes. Let's go to Dre in Central Cali. Hey, Dre, what's going on?
Hey, you're on to something right there about Damon Bruce. I usually don't trust people with two first names, but Damon's on it. You guys are doing a great job today.
Thank you.
Hey, with the Niners, I saw hope yesterday. I saw a defense that I hadn't seen all year. The defense was sticking. They were flying around. this offense of Shanahan's, it's good. I mean, he doesn't have the best talent out there. They're continually getting yards. Your guys that called, the first two callers, saying we should have gave Garoppolo all that money, I think they're crazy. Garoppolo's head and shoulders way above these other two guys. But your last call was right. We found our second string quarterback in Mullins. And as far as our tight end Kittle goes, yeah, I wish they would have gave him the ball. But let's say, I think this guy is going to be great, and he runs good. You know, Brent Jones, he looked like a girl when he was running. Let's tell the truth, but Brent Jones was great. Give Kittle 5-6 more years, he will surpass Brent Jones.
Thanks for the call, Dre. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but it's going to take time. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, sure.
If you looked at the checklist for the Niners going into this season, I don't think that checklist at the top would include we found our backup quarterback. But you
mean at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year. You deal with the cards you're dealt. So, yeah, that is something that you have questioned if you think Nick Mullins is the guy. But, Stani, I can tell you 100% that was not at the top of the chart. So, is that, you know, does that make you move forward? Is that progress? And I'm going to say no, because you had the Garoppolo question. McKinnon, you spent a lot of money there. So there were setbacks. So Nick Mullins, if he is your backup quarterback, you can't sell me on, hey, 18 was a successful season for the Niners, right?
No. I mean, 2018 is not going to be a successful season.
Okay.
Whether they finish with 4 straight wins, they finish 6-10, or not. There's no way it's a successful season. You weren't looking for a backup quarterback at the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
You didn't care about that. You wondered if you had a starting quarterback. You wanted to know at the end of this year that you had a starting quarterback. Unfortunately, you don't know that. You have to bank on it because you paid the guy, but you don't know that. And, okay, so Nick Mullins is the backup. That's great. It's only really going to matter if Garoppolo, to me, has a good year next year. Then you have a good starting quarterback and a pretty good backup. You can get rolling. But we're going to head into next year just like we headed into this year, and that is with questions about Garoppolo, period.
Yeah, no, big questions. I mean, franchise-hindering questions, because if he's not the man, Steiny, then where do you go? What's your answer? And I know you're not Jaworski, Ron Jaworski, the great quarterback, but – are you ready to honestly look me in the face right now and say Mullins is by far better than Beathard? Or is it just the fact he's under center now because he's lost some games? Mullins has.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't see that big gap. I know we're forgetting about old CJ, but I don't think, you know, they're taking him out to pasture just yet.
Yeah, I mean, right now, because I saw yesterday's game, I'd say Mullins. I'm not a big Beathard fan. I always worry about a quarterback who's tough, because that means that he might not have the other gifts you need to be a great quarterback. So I like Mullins just because it seems like he's got a higher ceiling than Beathard. Let's go to Leroy in Oakland. What's going on, Leroy?
Our guy.
Hey, what's up, Steiny Guru. Hey, I missed you guys this morning, but it's good to be back on. Hey, listen, you know the Niners, Steiny, you asked a question. You said, you know, who thought Garoppolo was going to come in and be this way at the beginning of the season in last year? And it was me, Steiny. I did not like him coming over here. I don't think we should have got Garoppolo. And I was like that from the beginning. I'm on record. And when he came here and we had him, you know, I was like, okay, franchise him. So let's see what he can do. I mean, his resume, it wasn't one. I mean, he only had started a handful of games, and people were riding on, oh, he's sitting behind Brady and he's there with Belichick, but it didn't mean that he had what Brady had. And I was like, just let's wait and see. So, you know, then when he got hurt, I'm like, oh, man. And so I just don't think he's the guy. I really don't. And I felt that way from the beginning. And hey, Steiny, I'm always looking around early, right? I've been looking for a quarterback for my team, and maybe they can take one in the second round. His name is Easton Stick from North Dakota State. Steiny, guru, take a look at this guy, man. I mean, he's a junior, and I mean, he has all the tools, I think, to be a pretty dang-gone good quarterback. And real quick, guru.
Yes,
sir. Warriors, this is a perfect trap game tonight for the Warriors. And I'm thinking they might not get this game tonight because who's number three in steals in the league? It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Warriors turn it over about 15.5 times on average at home. So I'm like, man, if the Warriors start turning this ball over against this team that gets a lot of steals and gets after it on defense, this can be a long night for the Warriors. I don't think I think there's still some residue with Draymond and Durant. I'm not saying that they're not going to get over it. I think they will, but I think there's still some stuff left, and I think it'll affect them a little tonight. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Leroy.
Wow, Leroy. North Dakota, huh?
North Dakota State.
Okay, there
North
you
Dakota
go.
State. Where do you even find their games?
The Warriors are about to go on a run. That was a statement game to me. Real quick, I know we're going to get to them against the Bucks. You get Draymond back. The league had their chance to take advantage of the Warriors. They didn't.
Yeah, they did. The league went 11-9 against them.
There's just no – I'm just that confident. I have Warrior cologne on, even Basso. I mean, I'm just – the fragrance is a winner.
It's
They're
sweat.
Winning.
The Warriors' fragrance is sweat and perspiration.
Warriors'
scent stinks.
Yeah,
you know that, don't you?
It did stink Friday night in Milwaukee.
You ever been in a locker room?
Come on.
See?
Yeah, I've been in a locker room.
Yeah, that's not a good smell.
Well, I was going after they shower.
It doesn't matter, though, still. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get all the residue. And
a little spray.
Yeah. No, the Warriors.
I'm excited. Look,
they got everybody back now.
Almost. Cousins.
Yeah. You know what? Cousins, to me,
is dessert.
I put him off to the side. I put him off to the side just because he wasn't. I mean, he's gravy. He's gravy. Mm. The question is whether or not they're going to need him to win. Or he's just going to be that luxury. All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, we got Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboy. At 4:30, we got Larry Riley. He was the general manager when the Warriors drafted Steph Curry. Of course, took Minnesota picking two point guards ahead of Curry for the Warriors to have Curry fall in their lap. And then at 5:30, we're going to play an interview with DeMarcus Cousins. He's down in Santa Cruz right now getting some practice under his belt. And obviously, he's getting a little bit closer to coming back. At 4:20, we're going to have our holiday grab bag where one lucky caller is going to get a sweet prize of some kind.
Yeah.
And then at 6:20, Warriors Live. Lucky caller will have a chance to win $1,400 in the Warriors Trivia Takedown. So we got a lot going on. Coming up in 15 minutes, we got Michael Irvin. You're listening to Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game, filling in for Damon Bruce.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson filling in for Damon Bruce. We're live at Oracle Arena where the Warriors will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at 7:30. Daryl and I will be here till 6 o'clock, and then we'll be here after 6 o'clock when Warriors Live starts. You'll have a chance to win $1,400
at
6:20 as part of the Warriors Trivia Takedown. Be a lucky caller, answer three questions correctly, and you can walk away with $1,400. Tim Roy will have the Warriors pregame show at 7, and tip-off is at 7:30. We're talking about the 49ers. They beat the Broncos yesterday 20-14. We got Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, coming up in 10 minutes. Then Larry Riley, the former Golden State Warriors general manager. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we got an interview with DeMarcus Cousins. He's down in Santa Cruz right now getting some practices in, and he gets closer and closer to making his debut with the Golden State Warriors. We're talking about what, if anything, that 49er win meant yesterday. And Guru, you said you thought the key was that 14 weeks into the season, they're having a terrible year, but they're still playing hard, and that's the first thing you got to do at this point of the season.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear any talks of the word just bothers me, tank. I mean, ask the 76ers how long that takes. There is no perfect plan of tanking. This team has an abundance of needs. And if I were to ask you what's most important, pass rusher, DB, wide receiver, I mean, we don't know what's going on with Goodwin. You know, there are some weeks we come in here on a Monday and we like the Niners got their they got a receiver, some receiver hope. So, Steiny, I don't think the Niners are good enough to even tank, if that makes sense. They need to hit in a draft, and that starts this year.
I mean, look, they're 3-10.
Jesus.
Whether they go 6-10 or 3-13, let's say that's the difference between the number one pick and, let's say, the number five or six pick. Obviously, you'd rather have the number one pick. But if there's no quarterbacks coming out this year, then that makes that pick less valuable. I mean, ideally, the 49ers would have the number one pick and there'd be two or three great quarterbacks out there. Apparently, there aren't two or three great quarterbacks out there. They have five draft picks right now. Football's the kind of sport where you can draft extremely talented players outside of the first round. So I just don't – I don't think – you set a goal to get the number one pick. It just,
you're right.
It just doesn't, I don't think it matters that much.
And we've seen organizations, the Patriots, outsmart a lot of other teams, Stoney, because they treat their second and third round pick like it's the first because they do their due diligence. Go to the lab and give me that new Matt Steinmetz, that star, somebody that can, you know, that nobody else, everybody else missed on. So that's why I'm excited because I believe, I know you cite the, oh, they got 6 years, guru. They are on the clock with the public perception about what are you doing in regard to the drafting. Who have you drafted? What have they turned out to? And you mentioned and went down the list earlier, McGlinchey, you know, Kittle now. You know, there are some positives, but, Stoney, they got to hit a home run. They got to hit a couple home runs if this team is going to get back and get back quick.
See, I don't think they're on the clock. I think Jed said as much afterwards.
Well, with
said.
Jed, they're not. I'm talking about with the fans.
But who cares? I mean, with all due respect to the fans, who cares?
See, if
they're
I was
on the clock
an organization,
with
the fans, I care what? About the fans and what they think.
And you're going to let them dictate?
No, not. Oh, hey, draft
well, then who cares what the fans think?
It would hurt me at night when I go. It would keep me from going to bed.
Okay, they got a six-year contract.
All right.
And Jed York said in there yesterday,
it's all good.
Believe in this guy, believe in this guy. Meaning Shanahan and Lynch. So
you wouldn't hear the noise. It wouldn't bother you, though, if the fan base was saying, hey, you know, they keep striking out in the draft.
Well, they haven't struck out in the draft. How have they struck out in the draft?
No, I'm just saying moving forward, you
can't.
Well,
they haven't.
It's strike two.
What do you mean? I mean,
you got to hit a homer.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at their draft, maybe it's not as bad as everybody thinks.
Well, you got to build – well, you didn't say much on the defensive
side. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4 – five? I mean, we had – look at their defense.
I'm going Armstead. I'm going Solomon Thomas.
But that's
okay,
not them.
They showed pulses, but
Armstead's
it's the defense,
not them.
Though.
They okay, didn't draft Armstead.
It's the defense. Solomon Thomas, they did.
Okay,
it's
he had a defense. Great game yesterday, apparently.
But he's been a bust.
Right, but maybe he's coming on.
I'm just letting you know the coverage needs some groceries. That's all.
No doubt about it. But I just think that, you know, 6 weeks ago we looked at this draft and said, it's not very good. I mean, now you look at it, and it doesn't look terrible. I mean, it doesn't look terrible at all.
It looks 3-10.
Well, it looks 3-10 because they didn't have anybody before these guys. I mean, you're right. Can you really build a team in two drafts? I don't know. I mean, they have five picks this year. I want to know what you mean by the fans' disappointment and how that should impact Jed York.
I mean, you can't
do that.
No, we just talked to Cam Inman, and we talk about the resources, the players under Shanahan, their regime, and Lynch have drafted. And now the Kittles are coming to roost. You know, hey, that's one in your corner. But there's not an abundance of, you know, game changers, Donnie. And then when guys go down, there's a lack of depth. And I'm just saying, moving forward, as we progress into that 6-year contract, I believe there's pressure on trying to get a star. They Reuben Foster. That's a major. At the end of the day, they took the chance on Reuben Foster that he would blossom into this rose, and it's over. That's a major miss. That's a setback. And with that comes scrutiny. That's all I'm saying, Steiny. Okay. So I feel like, you know, they're not on their ninth life, but hey, some people, you know, there's some unrest among Niner faithful. You got to get talent in here. That's all.
Okay, let's say you finish this year 4-12, and then next year you go 7-9. All right, and then you move forward into year 4.
And then there'll be about 10 draft picks that we can say, hey, let's talk about those 10 draft. You know, do 7 of them have promise? Hopefully 8, or do they all look like they can't play?
Well, I mean, I just think that I think we're looking at their two drafts, and
so you're saying that's too soon to judge them.
I mean, I'm just saying that. You know, there are players that come into the league that start excelling after their second and third year.
No doubt.
Let's see who they draft this year. Let's see what next year's team is. The other thing is, what is this team with Jimmy Garoppolo? If Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback,
that's 2019's question already.
I mean, maybe the fact of the matter is you're 4-12 this year. You get Garoppolo back. You make a couple draft picks, and maybe next year you're 8-8.
Free agent,
and then you're back
there.
You're back on track. So I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't even think these. When you give two guys a 6-year deal, you can't fire them till after the fourth year. Otherwise, why would you give them a? I mean, you can't fire them now and pay them 4 more years. So I think all that's kind of ridiculous. Now, if the fans coming off a 6-10 and another 4-12, yeah, they're going to be upset. But
and I'm not saying they'll get fired, Donnie. I hear.
But
I guess I'm just saying
there's no added pressure.
I believe just
why? I mean, you got to win anywhere.
Shanahan's competitive.
So you got to win anywhere.
Yeah, he don't even need to hear from his boss. You can tell these losses are killing him. It's almost like he's playing the game, and I appreciate that. My point is they want to build a winner just from the pride standpoint, the fact that they got the job. Now, there is a chance, Donnie, after 6 years, the Niners could still be in the same position, and we look at the regime under Lynch and Shanahan and say, you know what? It was underwhelming. We're going in a different direction. There is no, just because you got that security, that doesn't mean it's going to work out is what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't.
You got to hit on these draft picks.
But it also means
you got some
time. Don't care what the fans say. I mean, if I have a 6-year deal and I'm John Lynch or I'm Shanahan, I don't care what the fans say. That's where you get into trouble, I think.
Who was saying that? Oh, the Giants. You know, we care what the fans think.
Right. And you look at the position they're in right now. Obviously, it's easy to kick them when they're down.
Evans,
but I just think that this you give a 6-year contract to guys when you don't want to make a move for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the bottom line is that they're going to be probably worse than last year, but they're going to be able to say that, hey, we lost our starting quarterback. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ. I don't even have it in front of me, the legal, but you know what it is. So, Goob, the bottom line is, what do you think is in store for the last 3 games?
I think, and I'm not being negative Nancy, I think there's going to be 3 losses. They're playing 3 teams that are better than the San Francisco 49ers. They'll put up a fight, but at the end of the day, the fact that you won yesterday and didn't drop in regard to the draft positioning, that was a blessing from the football gods. Now you got Seattle. You got the Rams. Stoney, I just don't see the Niners, just from a competitive standpoint, having the personnel to beat these 3 teams, and I don't think it would be in their best interest. I don't think it would be in their best interest, Steiny. So that's what I expect, 3 losses and the Niners to be on the clock once this season's over.
All right, let's go to Omar in Fremont. What's going on, Omar?
What's up, man? I've been holding for quite a while over here. No worries. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure.
I just wanted to touch on Garoppolo and McKenzie. First, Garoppolo, man, when he was in the Patriots system, I mean, Steiny, I can put you in that system and let you read the playbook and get it down, and you can win at least 10 games for me. I can. That's a beautiful system. That's, we all know that's one of a kind. Garoppolo, everybody's hyped up. Oh, next franchise. They overpaid for no reason for Garoppolo, and then unfortunately he got hurt. Not, I hate to see another player going down. That's not what I thought Garoppolo would be, a great that worth that much money. So
right.
I think they absolutely overpaid for Garoppolo.
Well,
as far as McKenzie,
yeah,
I knew McKenzie was gone as soon as Mac was traded. I'm like, McKenzie is gone. It was just a matter of time. I was just waiting for McKenzie, because think about it, Carl Joseph.
Melifonwu. I mean, you go down the list.
He was in a different league. I mean, he's not even like, he was not even in the league for a while. I mean, they brought him back. He played for the Patriots, I guess.
No, but what I'm saying is Reggie's guys that Gruden got rid of.
But his draft stuff, not like, except for Carr and Mack. I cannot proudly say that McKenzie was like hitting on every draft pick. I mean,
No.
It had me to see. Like, a Chiefs go grab, I mean, I know Kareem Hunt got a, you know, bad name now, but grab him a third round out of Toledo, and we can't even hit on our first round. It's sad.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Omar. We got to get to Michael Irvin soon.